Alrighty, good evening, George, and thank you very much for making the time. I know how busy it is, and but I really appreciate it. So, just before I get to know you a lot from our conversation back and forth to get to prepare for that podcast, but let me introduce you properly to the audience. Mr. Fuchs has started over 25 years ago, working on and advising healthcare providers, both in individual or companies, to build their retirement plans. Now, currently, he is at JP Morgan Wealth Management, and he is running a team that is providing this service to client and offering them a playbook to bring the strategies to market. So I couldn't have asked for a better person than you to talk about retirement for people like myself that have practices and they want to build their own retirement plan properly. So thank you so much, George, for making the time. And I'm sure that our listeners and viewers will enjoy it as I enjoyed getting to know you. So let's start with the first question. Can you share a bit about your role as an advisor working with business owners, particularly owners of medical and dental practices?
Sure, and Dr. Elchar, thank you as well. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to have this podcast, and so connecting with you is great. And so to answer your question, just to provide you with a little bit of context, so in my role, I provide consulting and essentially support professional service organizations, companies, including and particularly medical dental practices, but healthcare providers in general. With their workplace benefit and retirement benefit needs. And I've been an advisor. You are correct. The numbers keep ticking. It's over 25 years, somewhere between 25 and 30. And I do run a team at JP Morgan Wealth Management focused on this work, in particular on the build out and on the client service, right? Creating strategies and implementing strategies for clients. And also, really helping to have this as a core part of services within our wealth management group. And back to really my goal and why I do this, one of the key things as an advisor. So the goal of partnering with my clients is key, right? The objective is to understand how I could help their business, their practice, their organization run more efficiently by using some strategies that business owners can implement to allow for more tax-advantaged and creditor-protected savings, essentially.
Excellent. And that is such an important thing for us because we come out of dental school or medical school with no knowledge about all of these things. So that's I hope a lot of people will take advantage of that service. How can business owners of medical practice utilize qualified retirement plans, and what are the some of the potential benefits of doing so?
Great questions. So, on the topic, so firstly, starting with every organization, every practice is unique. And so, you think of a business owner has a passion for what they do, and they may have come at it in a multitude of ways. But the specific strategy that can be implemented and also continued to be aligned to the organization, the practice, depends on a number of factors that are unique to the business. And so we start there. Business owners in general can augment their tax advantage savings, both for the business owner as well as their employees, through the design and really implementation of qualified retirement plans, including some of these that you've heard of, defined contribution plans such as 401k, profit sharing, Roth 401k, things like that. And then also on the defined benefit side, cash balance defined benefit or traditional defined benefit plans that essentially will allow for greater tax shelter for contributions both by the organization and the employee, and then also the creditor protected nature of government qualified retirement plans. And so just thinking about the potential benefit, so I'd like to focus really in the two areas, right? So one, on the practice owner, and then number two, on their valuable employees. All their employees are valuable, help them run the business, but looking at it within two different lenses, if you will. And so first, business owners could benefit from the tax savings, right? So your income as a practice owner tends to be taxed pretty heavily, right? And so, the ordinary income tax and things like that, that certainly put a damper on your take home, right, in general. But then also the forced savings aspect of retirement plans, and lastly, the creditor protected nature, where medical practice owners are cognizant of, right, protecting assets as well, is key. And so, thinking about that, creating some sort of a mechanism to allow for that tax advantage savings, which could allow for greater growth, right, as they prepare as for their own retirement, right? Outside of their business. Their business is their baby, right? Their organization, but going from there. And then secondly, now thinking about the practice owner's employees, right? So providing them with a competitive retirement and workplace benefit, we believe is key for a number of reasons. One, that's not only providing for, but also well communicated to allow your people, an organization owners, a practice owners, people to save for themselves, right? We think of Social Security in general, not necessarily providing the full amount of post-retirement
Correct.
spending capability versus what they were doing, what they were spending, for work. And so to allow for savings mechanisms with also the capability of the practice contribution, depending on the capability, the altruistic view of the business owner, and also, just trying to provide the overall benefit to allow the employee to have a better financial picture overall as they save for their own retirement. And so, thinking about that from the employee standpoint, we believe a good sound workplace benefit or retirement plan can actually be a competitive advantage, right? Allowing for someone, if two organizations, two practices, one that has it, one that doesn't have it, well, that becomes enticing to the employee. And then if you think about not only just, wow, I have this extra benefit, but then studies do show that generally, with a more efficient set up for a retirement plan and more retirement savings, that brings overall a higher, typically overall higher employee satisfaction. And also, there are studies that show that higher retirement balances also can lead to more efficiency within their job function, right? And so having feeling more skin in the game, if you will, right? And so they don't
Correct.
necessarily own equity in the business, right? But they have this mechanism that they see the fruits of their labor, right, on statements over time, and have an organization's leader, a practice leader that said, all right, we want to do this for you. So I think the benefits can be twofold. Again, employee and of course the practice owner and leader.
Actually, what you mentioned, it's extremely important that the employee feel also that they have skin in the game, and that also it's actually a good thing for retention. If I'm not mistaken, it can help the retention for employees in the long run. I know, I don't want to get into the deep dive in what you were saying, but we cannot count only on Social Security. We have to complement that with more things, and that's what happens with all of that. You mentioned the 401k and profit sharing and the match and all of the things. So that's important for people to understand that very well. So if somebody owns a practice like myself, dental or medical, anything in the healthcare, and they want to establish a retirement benefit program for their employees, what tips do you have for them in navigating that process? Because it's intimidating. None of us has ever heard about any of these things that you mentioned. And so please, can you elaborate on that?
Sure, Dr. Alchar. I'd like to say, really the fine point of you can be the master of your own universe. You understand how to run your practice relatively well or extremely well. Some of the nuances and the techniques and strategies within setting up a quality workplace benefit and retirement plan for employees and business owners could be daunting. And first, to understand that one, the organization, as I said before, each practice is unique. But two, data is so important, right? So understanding pertinent data that will allow or aid your decision making. So a good tip, having someone who has a core competency in these retirement plan strategies. The objective would be to provide that person or the team or the organization with the data requested to help them understand the current and then also to go forward with the organization. So, for example, before I engage with a client, we first sit down virtually or in person. A lot of it was virtual a number of years ago, and now we're back in person. The objective is to sit down and outline what they want for their organization. What is the projected growth rate of their business in terms of revenue, in terms of take-home extra savings, in terms of hiring practices? Are they growing? Are they shrinking? Are they acquiring? Right? Are they divesting? These are the things that are critical because these plans and strategies are not static, right? And so just ongoing alignment is key. And then also, how much in a perfect world would they want to save? You make a dollar, how much can you afford to put away? Could you put away 50 cents? Right? And
Yeah.
so that's something that's critical to understand. And without knowing, what is the capability for someone to be putting away for themselves? And then also the capability for them, the operational costs to set up a retirement plan. And then also, how altruistic are they, or how much do they feel that they should be contributing? Or, what is, after understanding sort of the big picture, having pertinent data from the advisor on, well, what is the marketplace like? What are other practices doing right now? What are things that are not only trends of now, but where is it going? What do we think about as it relates to the competitive marketplace for employees and not only enticing people to join, but as you mentioned, Dr. Olchar, retaining your people and making them more, the opportunity to be more efficient, having that skin in the game, if you will, even if they're not an equity owner, right? Having that is key. And so it's crucial to conduct an analysis of the practice's current and future costs based on changes. And also thinking about back to their personal finances. Yes, pie in the sky. Could you save, make a dollar? Could you save 50 cents? Could you save 25? Could you save 10? What is that number? But try to separate a practice owner, typically, as we see it, the business is one of their children, right? It's their
Yes.
baby, if you will. And so you nurture this baby, right? But then at a certain point of time, this baby is going to grow up and you want that baby to feed you, right? And so how can you then create a strategy to allow you to put away enough money for the future, right? Running a financial planning analysis on that, understanding what it means, how much, based on lifestyle, based on desired lifestyle, based on goals and needs, family, parents, children, grandchildren, what have you, putting it all together. That is, we believe is critical, right? Having that little bit of the separation. So you've nurtured this baby grows up, and all of a sudden, well, you hope to reap benefits from this, no pun intended. And also, over time, the practice will assuredly have changed, right? Most assuredly, it changes, right? You have different changes within the healthcare system, the environment, costs, economies of scale, innovative ways to conduct business, growth in that, if you will, efficiencies, and then also competitive natures and other things on the negative side as well. The objective is not only at the current but ongoing. Big tip, whether you've started just starting a retirement benefit or you're thinking of, or whether you've had one, is to make sure that it is aligned on an ongoing basis, to really match the direction of your business organization and, from your personal standpoint, the capability of the practice leader and owner to align with their own financial plan, and then of course your employees. So I think that's a key, key measures in tips. Data is critical.
So, if you allow me on this one, between the financial planning and the retirement planning, is there a separation between the two, or they can work together? Or what would you suggest that the person who is going to do the retirement for the owners will be also doing their financial, or it can be separate? And how does that sound? I mean.
Sure. Well, my philosophy is, having a certain level of expertise, right? And in which case, I have a core competency in something and I focus on that something. And I have a working knowledge of other things, other areas. But typically what I like to do is I partner, in terms of putting together, well, the focus on the retirement plan, making sure that someone has a core competency in that. And then, whether it's a partner or someone else handling the financial
The
planning.
financial planning, yes.
That's right. And
Yeah.
regardless, I believe there are significant merits for the practice owner and leader to have a financial plan, right? And within that, your retirement plan is certainly separate, but also similar because it can become a function of savings that will augment or could augment the financial plan. And so I think it depends in all ways, shapes, and forms, but I do believe that there needs to be expertise on both sides, Dr. Elchar, in having, someone, a team, or different people, different organizations, that can effectively provide guidance on both
Yeah.
the organization, business, and the individual or family.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think if it's a team that can, even if they're separate, it makes a hell lot of difference for somebody like ourselves into that field. Not because we have a little bit of time, so I wanted to ask you something about if somebody is starting from the beginning as an owner. They went and they opened on their own, definitely not the first year, second year, because they have a lot of debts to pay on these things. But when should somebody start as young? And if they haven't started, also, how can they do a catch up and stuff of that nature? There's any tips that you can give them on that?
Yes. So, and I don't want to be, you hear this a lot, no time is too early. But someone comes in for starting a medical practice and they may have large bills, student loans, for example, right? And so you think about that, the ability, well, that's debt and interest rates, could be higher, right? The paying that off is key and critical. So the timing is unique depending on that person's financial plan. Now, the reality is that retirement plans, most small businesses have them. And if you are just one person with no staff, no employees, well, then that's a decision for you. But then if you have employees, that's something that you will want to think about sooner rather than later, because you may be hiring people that already have it somewhere else, need it, require it, in order to be, to work for an organization. And so the idea of the benefit plan, because you'll also think about general benefits, consider their retirement strategy or retirement benefit one and the same. And so earlier the better. Now, the ability for the practice leader or owner to look to augment their savings may not be at that time, right? Based on what is going on and putting all their money into the business, whatever it may be. And that's, you know, that's something that should be recognized as part of the general financial plan. But having a setup that is flexible to then create that capability over time, you know, as the business matures and provides revenue that will allow for sustainable savings by the practice owner, that is key, right? To be there. And that's why having that, call it an annual checkup, right, on the business, on the practice, to determine that strategy itself. So no time is too early, but understanding, you know, the barriers to entry into getting in it. And one of them are the economic costs just to get to the place where a practice leader and owner is on all the prerequisite schooling that is required, which, you know, is certainly not inexpensive. It's not an inexpensive endeavor.
And so if they are associates, you know, they are working but not as an employee, practitioners working in the practices, but they're not employees, like meaning not W-2 but 1099 and stuff. So first of all, these people can work with your team. They can join your team if they I mean take services of your team, sorry. Or they have to be part of a big practice.
Well, that's a great question. So sometimes you think of a healthcare practice will have the 1099 employee, right? You know, or even the outsourced CFO, right? And so you tend to then look at things a little bit differently, especially when you start, and maybe there's some efficiencies in that. Now, those people can set up their own retirement plans, right? As a sole practitioner in their own business, right? So whether they're set up as an LLC, a sole proprietorship, you know, there's all different nuances to that. But absolutely, and I think, you know, as part of the organization, even though they're separate, if the relationship is close enough, I think it's a good practice to make the connection, right? And it's on their own merits, their own capability. The practice leader is not responsible for what they do, but to allow them an understanding and say, well, right now we don't have this as you are not part of the organization, but you have the capability as a business owner to create a plan for yourself. And then begets, you know, my different alignment, different strategy based on their needs.
Definitely, you're not going to be able to answer me that. But would they benefit more if they join the organization itself, or they can stay independent and on their own? It's there's any difference with that, or
I hear that question a lot.
I am sure it does.
So it's you know an understanding of you know strategy, and it depends on the roles and responsibilities. So you know one of the things in data, for example, job descriptions, you know, do you go outside or do you keep that inside? You know, these are things that age-old questions, but the environment has changed, right? The medicine has changed, the practice, right? The strategy around the practice, the efficiency around that, we see the continued evolution at a rapid pace. And so that depends on geographies, right? The workforce location, you see different things in different areas, different cities, even, you know, so that's one thing to look at. But so it's hard to say depending on, you know, what the job classification is, but I think being a practice leader and owner, even though they may be separate, their abilities and you know their work output will have a direct effect on the quality of the service that you as a practice owner will provide to your clients, customers, patients, right? That's you know that's key. And so what moves the needle there? Typically, as organizations mature, they tend to bring it in-house. Although we certainly have seen the outsourcing of certain roles that are not, the medical side of it, if you will, right? We've seen a fair amount of that, but then we've also seen other things too. So I can't answer that question. I would love to, but we
Oh,
know
yeah.
that it's unique to the practice. And so we look, when we see a situation, we look at the data. We ascertain the situation, the potential go forward, and what the objective is to create a strategy, around what we see to make things, to help make
Yeah.
things efficient.
Yeah. Well, we are getting to the end of the discussion. I really want to thank you for making the time, George. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure that the listeners will learn a lot. I'm sure they probably, hopefully, they will reach out to your team. And if not, at least they open their eyes and their mind. And I always enjoy talking to you. And really, thank you very much. And also for JP Morgan for helping us with this.
Dr. Alchara, the pleasure is mine. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be a guest on your podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.